7 years ago, as a single 42-year-old woman, I moved into a community called Southern Barton Heights. There's no way at all that you can live there as a single woman. A lot of the problems that you'll find in inner cities, with a lot of street crime, prostitution, drugs, fatherless children. So I prayed about it. And I went to visit an area where they were building some new houses, mixed income housing. And I said, Lord, if this is where I'm supposed to move, then you need to make it happen. So fast forward a few months, and after driving through the community at all kinds of hours, not used to seeing prostitutes and drug dealers on every other corner and in front of my house, I moved in. And literally from the first weekend I moved in, the neighborhood kids started rolling in. So they were over all the time, and they became my family and my children. So for the last 7 years, I have been serving in this community. And what God is really doing is, as I learn to be obedient to what He's called me to do, is really just blowing my mind with how faithful He is. I was given the scripture Luke 10:1-7 that talks about Jesus sending people in pairs, 2 by 2, to prepare the way for Him to come. And I started thinking to myself, I shouldn't be praying for a husband. I should be praying for the other half of my pair in ministry. And so I did, and then some people were praying for me. And a year later, I said no to moving to St. Louis with the merger that had taken place. And 3 months later, met Lewis. And from the get-go, we were serving together in the community, and everything that I had prayed for again was happening. On our fourth date, surprisingly enough, a gentleman got shot 9 times outside my back door. And it's just this beautiful story of how we immediately ran out there in the power of the Holy Spirit and gave first aid and prayed with him. And when he stopped talking to me and everything, I said, well, Frank, if you can't say anything else to me, just call on the name of Jesus, because there's power in His name. And at that split second, he reaches up and grabs my thigh. I knew that he was going to live after being shot in the chest, the shoulder, the thigh, the hand, and 5 times to the gut. And all of his other friends left and ran away. Lewis and I ran too. When Frank and I were spending time every Sunday morning, we had church together in his hospital room to give his girlfriend and his mom a break. He's like, so Mark, you gonna move? And I was like, why would I move? And he's like, because I got shot 9 times. A bullet went inside your house during this process. I said, you know, Frank, in the past few years, my car's been stolen. My car's, the windows have been shot out. You know, all these other things have happened, and people ask me that same question. If I moved, then who would have been here that night for you? God loves you so much that He rearranged my life, my schedule, because God knew. And so it's just this awesome opportunity to be used by God and to love our community. The neighborhood named my house Miss Marty's house. The neighborhood named the kids Miss Marty's kids, because they were always running in and out. And one of the Miss Marty's kids was picked up for murder about a month ago at 18 years old, shot another young man. And so now, going through the pain and of what his mom must feel like, I didn't give birth to him, so I can't feel what she feels. But just the heartbreak of knowing that your son is going to be locked up for a really long time. My church has just been unbelievably supportive, more so than anything through prayer. And that I can't imagine going through all the things that we went through without having the church's support emotionally and spiritually and through prayer to get us through this and get me through it in the earlier years. There was a young man, for example, who his mother passed away just due to life choices, and he went to live with his dad, who happened to live really right across the street, but his dad was working 2 jobs, and so KK didn't have anywhere to go in the evening times until his dad could quit his second job. So we all surrounded him, and different friends from church would pick him up after school and spend the afternoons with him until his dad came home. And it was one of the days it was my turn to pick him up. And if he were home for 30 minutes or so after school, no big deal. But I went by to scoop him up and his dad was there. I was like, what are you doing home? He was going to the hospital the next day to have amputation of part of his foot due to diabetes. And he was trying to find a place for his son. So his son comes to live with me. What we thought was going to be 2 weeks ended up turning into about 3 or 4 months. Because he ended up having lots of medical complications. And so for him, for this young, you know, sixth grader, seventh grader, to first see his mom pass, and then to see his dad having significant issues, it was just a real challenging time for him and for me, all of a sudden to have care for a young man. But the church, again, surrounded and supported. And it's just so important when folks feel called individually to go and do something like this for the church to release them to go and then to support them. We have an organic church that meets in our home. It really is just a gathering of people from different walks of life. It's a mix of professionals that have moved into the community and relocated there, to a couple of men who have spent 25 or 30 years on the streets, who are now clean and sober for a couple of years. We are just really praying that the Lord would raise up laborers from the harvest, and that we can disciple some of these guys to go back into their old scene and reach people that we could never reach, whether it's into the gang scene or the drugs, just the folks that live very streetwise, that they can go back and will be empowered by the Spirit to then go back and disciple where they came from. So that's what we're really praying through at this point, is that God will continue to raise that up. Our ministry is nothing formal. It's really just an incarnational life of being in the community. Not everyone is called to move into inner city community. This incarnational way of life can happen anywhere, and it doesn't take you risking or what you feel like is a risk. The only risk that we have at this point that I look at is not obeying what God's called you to do. Not only can I see changes in the community because Lewis and I live there and some of the racial reconciliation that happens, I can also see changes in me, in the way that I view life and my worldview, and in Lewis and our relationship together with one another. And how radically different it is because we have lived there together. So here it is 6 or 7 years later, and I can only give God the glory for this, is our streets are cleaner than they've ever been. And the changes that I can see from 7 years ago to today, with the number of drug dealers and prostitutes and that type of thing, street crime as a whole has diminished significantly. And that is no part of mine, but just God answering prayers.